Hey everyone, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Andrea, or as most people call me, Anj.
And this is Trendish.
We'll be covering relationships, faith, leadership, health, and everything in between. I'll definitely troll.
And I'll probably cry.
And we're so glad you're here to witness the whole thing.
Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
Because it's like red dots.
What?
Right, like you hear that. Well, what does red dots mean to you?
Oh. Welcome back, Anj.
Did you already hit play?
Yeah.
Well, do you just do that on purpose? Is this our opener? Jamie, play. Anj, talking about whatever she's talking about.
Well, I'm just going to cut it.
Yeah, well, I don't know that you cut it. That's true. I guess I haven't listened in a minute.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're back for part two of Work and Others.
Sure are.
Any other thoughts on part one that you feel like you didn't get to share that you wanted to, like,
bring in our best
sum
self.
Up?
No.
Okay. That is totally fine.
Do you have anything you'd like to share? Delegate the ice cream to Jamie. That's my takeaway.
I think we'll get to it in other parts, but I just think, like, also knowing the role of a person is helpful. Like, like, who is this person supposed to be to you, like, in a work setting? I think that, I don't know. I think we're just an offensive people. Like,
yeah.
We get offended so quickly. So yeah. I think... I don't know. Age, maturity, wisdom. If you don't have it,
ageism.
Get it.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you don't have somebody to call you on your crap, I'd recommend you find someone.
Oh, no, wait, yes.
So.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So, part two, we're going to start with personality tests. We had
hot topic around here.
Yeah, it is.
You love us or you hate us just by that statement.
Uh-huh.
You're tuned in or you're tuned out.
Yeah. I mean, if people really want to know specifically how to work with a 4 and 8, we can answer that and then get into the overarching actual answer of, like, how do you benefit from understanding people's personality tests?
Yeah, and what can hinder
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, what's it like to work 4 and 8 with an 8?
Well, you should go ask some people. I don't work with them much. I just am one.
Yeah. What's been your, like, what's the feeling you have?
Not a lot of feelings.
Oh, my word.
Gosh. Not a whole lot of feelings. That's part one.
Point one.
Not a lot of feelings.
Uh-huh.
The vibe overall. It depends on if I'm healthy or not. Would depend on how I answer that question.
Can you tell if you're healthy or not?
I am really learning to. The difference is sometimes now I can tell, like, wow, I'm really unhealthy. Still got to keep.
Yeah, still gotta finish my job. The workday.
So, wow, that person's not gonna get my best, and that's just unfortunate.
Yeah,
that's the issue I'm having right now. But
so you're saying you're not
overall,
healthy?
Oh, I guess in my thought process right now, that would be the issue I'm having. No, it really ebbs and flows, man. I gotta say, it comes and goes. But I would say working for an 8 in health. Especially if, like, you're working with, like, alongside me or really, and anyway, I was about to say under, but even over, just overall, I think a perk to working with an 8, you probably, because you've worked with 8s that are not me, but I think this maybe is true across the board.
Have I?
A very, yeah. Yeah. You'll know after saying.
Okay.
A very protective people group we are. And so if you work with us, for us, against us even sometimes.
Lots of times.
I mean, I truly am, I would say 8s in general can be really big advocates of those they work with.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, if you're on the other side of that, in which you hurt the person they're advocating for, well, you're not going to get their best, probably. But I've had to really learn how to hone that in. So on the healthy side, can be really productive. I think can be really clear. I don't want to, like, toot my own horn, but I think overall, I don't always do the best of this, but overall, I think you kind of know what I want and you know what I don't. I've learned recently, like, wow, why didn't I just, I am, like, on this line trying to cross this bridge of, I know exactly what I don't want. If I say it that clear, it's going to sound so harsh.
Yeah.
And so I've almost gotten to the opposite spectrum where I'm like, I'm going to say
unclear.
It so softly. Mm-hmm. And then it's like,
why didn't you just say it?
Yeah, oh, I heard paint that wall blue, and I was like, well, I just said don't paint it black, yellow, or red. Oh, but I wanted it purple, but you painted it blue. Okay, cool. So I did exactly what you asked, actually.
Yeah.
Just didn't... Why didn't you just tell me you want it purple? So that is actually what I'm finding. I think that maybe it can be even, like, the insecure side of me. Like, it is a kryptonite. Like, the command that you bring and the, I would even say, like, intensity that you bring is truly a kryptonite. Because people like working with you when you're an 8 if they want you to be an 8. And the moment they don't want you to be an 8 anymore, you're like, just stop. Just blend in. Just be quiet. Just don't talk. And you are, at least me, I'm constantly
trying to figure out which
trying
one they
to
want.
Read a room like,
yeah,
okay, do they need the intensity here, do they need the problem solving here, do they need the questions here, do they need asking here, are they thinking about all these other people in this conversation? If they're not, now I just have to, it is literally in my blood to say that is not fair for this person. This not fair, I've learned fair just doesn't always exist, but not right or not just in the way that we're doing those things. So I don't know what you get when you work with an 8. Like I said, ask some people who work with 8s.
You know, we've had a couple of moments to work together.
You and I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Also, those were... I was very young. let's please preface
well,
that
yeah,
with the
I
people.
Mean, obviously, I was young, too.
Because
but...
I can tell the story you're going to tell. I already know. And I just would like to say I've gotten softer.
Well, no. I think the overarching, like, theme of it is, like... You're looking for somebody to match your, like, intensity, like, in those moments. I don't know if you would say it, like, so, what's the word? Like, directly? Like, I don't think, like, you had that as a conscious thought.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, I think there's those moments where, like, if I don't come up there, I'm not going to be heard. And so I hate who I am in those moments. But, like, I feel like I have to. Because I have lots to say, too.
I think you're right, but I actually think that is a more unhealth. I think that comes up more when I'm unhealthy, i.e. marriage. Like, that will be my just go-to, yeah, and am I thinking all kinds of things if I could be healthier? No. Mm-hmm. That comes up. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a harder thing in my personal relationships, i.e. you. John, I don't know, all the people close to me. In a work setting, I if I am being healthy in the way I hope I am, I'm typically trying to ask more questions.
Yeah.
I still feel like I will still end up on a solution I want, but I try to ask more questions because let me tell you who I work with. Not intense people. Mm-hmm. Not intense people whatsoever, and I love that about them. Mm-hmm. Truly, I really do. But if I operated like that, where I work right now, constantly, I think there's been times I will operate like that. My boss does a good job meeting me there sometimes, but overall, he does.
I have watched it. Yeah. I've been a bystander in the room.
But to he and I, it was just like, great, cool, we landed there.
Well, and
like,
I'm,
never
no,
think about it again.
And
truly never.
Harmony's in my top 5, and so I'm like, okay, what do I gotta mediate here to get everybody to be
Oh my gosh, okay. It's such an interesting conversation, because in my brain I'm like, but if you mediate it, we're not gonna say the things, we might make the wrong decision if you mediate it, because what needed to actually be said might not be said.
I don't know. I think I disagree.
You know?
Because I'm like, couldn't we say it differently?
Brene Brown calls it nice culture. Like, oh, we don't have any problems. Everyone's so nice. She's like, that's my number one red flag. Number one red flag. Not a good culture. I was like, that's... This is not what we're talking about today. But it has been the most fascinating case study to me. Because ever since she heard it, there are 4 distinct times I can think now talking to somebody about, like, where they work, who they work with, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, we don't really have any problems. Like, everyone's actually really, like, nice, and it's a good place to work. I'm like, oh my God, she's right. It's like she's a researcher or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But she literally says, a team that has no conflict has no trust. Hmm. I am literally waving the flag so hard I'm falling down off the mountain because I'm waving the flag so hard.
Yeah.
However, that can also, too much of that can come across really poorly. And so, like I said, the natural pace of the people I work with right now are not like, let me just come at you. They're going to be like, sounds good. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, no, it does not sound like, I know you think something. I know you. So I am just have had to learn, and I don't always do it well. But I've had to learn, what do you think about? Like, asking questions that being married to a 9 has been the most helpful thing probably of my whole lifetime. Well, helpful and hard. But I am just blown away when I listen to his thought process. Like, he's like, yeah. And then they're arguing about this thing, and I just, like, knew this answer. Like, right? He will be saying this about work. My jaw's on the ground. I'm like, did you say the answer? I'm, like, on the edge of my seat waiting for the end of the story. Did you say the answer? Well, no. Like, they didn't. No, like, they were just talking.
I
can scream.
And John.
I'm like, why didn't you say? Well, like, if they want to know, they would ask. People really think that.
Yeah.
I was truly this year's old.
I'm on the top of the mountain, and I'm about to fall over with the red flag, John.
But it has been so helpful, because truly, I think I work with a little more of those personalities than not. Mm-hmm. And it's just helpful to remember your natural response is not everyone's natural response. Yeah. I have never wondered, ever, maybe in my lifetime, like, maybe I shouldn't say that. Now, should I have wondered that? Absolutely. So many times in my life, I regret later, wow, shouldn't have said that. But never once have I. John lives in this world of, like, I don't need to say that. Lives there. Unless he's asked, and then even then, it's, like, kind of pulling teeth to actually figure out what he thinks. Mm-hmm. Now, I've always thought about that as just being my husband. But the more I thought, like, actually, okay, I work with really similar personalities, I start investigating. Mm-hmm. So-and-so. Do you need to be asked? Like, do you feel more valued when you're asked? Oh, yeah, I won't really say what I think unless I ask. They just straight up come out and say that. I'm like, so all this time, we are all talking. We're not actually talking about anything. You're just listening to me and this person talk, and you're not saying, and you have great ideas. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have learned so much in the last, I would say, 365 days on that topic specifically, mm-hmm. probably because I've been picking John's brain more on, like, why he is the way he is in work specifically, not like between us. We have our own norms. And so this is now not even being innate. This is, like, just working with people in different personalities.
Yeah.
But it is.
Well, what's the saying?
Just fascinating.
Like, the majority of the people's opinions is not the loudest in the room. That's not the right phrase.
I typically just say, I don't know what the actual phrase is, but yeah, I always err. I think what I say more often than not is I don't want the loudest voices to be the majority vote.
Or the only ones that are heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and I would say this version of me comes out different if I'm leading a meeting versus just, like, in a conversation.
Yeah.
I would say overall, I think I do a decent job of that in leading a meeting. I never ask a group think question. I say never. I should not be that admin. Try to never ask a general consent. I'm not asking, like, large, big question statements on Slack or question statements in a, like, meeting setting. Like, groupthink is so real and so and it minimizes the voices of those, like, peacemakers that I'm talking about, who are just, like, truly think their opinion might actually not be the best. And 9 times out of 10, for someone who's that big of a peacemaker, it actually is. Like, more often than not, the quietest people in the room have listened and absorbed so much they actually know the right answer, or have maybe not the right, but the best answer for the group at large.
Yeah.
But unless you call on them, you're probably not going to hear it. So
I can so appreciate people that will, like, prioritize those voices, because, like, I'm going to be honest, there are moments where I'm like, you heard that one time? Like, we're changing everything we're doing for one piece of feedback.
Yeah, that has happened.
You know what I mean? Yeah, where I'm totally like, happened. Huh, I don't want to do that.
Yes, because the, like, the one loud voice.
But, yeah. Like, I really do, like, value so much the people that are like, no, that was their experience, and, like, I want it to be different. Mm-hmm. Like, I want more than that. And that person's experience matters.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be speaking for more than just that one. Like, it could have happened to more.
Yes,
we just haven't heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, like, from my side, I'm like, I'm on the other side that has to, like, do something about it. And I'm like, that's so much, like, time and energy and investment and, like, change. And I'm like,
working with people.
Ooh, it's tough. But I do appreciate them, even though, like, I'm a 4. So let's just pivot on over to what it's like to work with me. Like, I'm moody.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Hey, be nice.
Well, it's hard because I don't know. I do not want to chalk us working into just our personalities, because I don't know if everything I said is all, oh, just because I'm an 8.
It might also be
my personality. Same for you. Might not be because you're a 4, your personality.
Yep.
Because I do work closely with a 4. And actually, working with both of you, very different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not moody, like you just described yourself. You for sure are. But
rude.
But the one thing I will at least say about working with a four is I am like every ounce of my energy being is like being drilled into what in the world are they thinking? Like their face doesn't change.
Well, yeah.
That's and, what I've and heard that's recently. Not a good sign. Like, oh. It's not a good sign their face. Because I did not realize until recently how much I go off of cue. Like, I am, like, reading the room, reading your cue.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? I have now learned I just need to ask, do you agree with that? I don't really know yet anything about it. Great. Awesome. Let's circle back.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. But fours specifically are the people group. Fours and nines mm-hmm. specifically are the people group that I'm like, what's going on? That beautiful head of yours.
Well, most recently, like, somebody was like, I just can't believe Jamie's emotional. Like, she's just always even keel, like, unwavering. Like
in on the terms, outside.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, girl, if you only knew.
The inside.
What was happening mm-hmm. underneath the surface there.
I've seen that as well.
But, like, if you know me well enough, like, you know what's really happening. Because, like, what I think is so frustrating is, like, I've been told multiple times, like, your, like, how you carry yourself in a room, like, is felt by everybody else.
Totally.
That's so frustrating to me. Like, how come I can't have a moment where, like, I get to be moody? Like, I just...
Like, you all, like, carry emotion.
Yeah.
In a, such a wild way.
Yeah. So that's where it's, like, I feel such a responsibility to, like, be a certain person in a room, like, in a meeting, where I'm, like... Man, if I'm moody in this room, like, everybody else mm-hmm. is going to feel that. But, like, if I can bring, like, a good energy mm-hmm. and, like, help the room, like, stay up here, like, I want to do that. I just think it's unfair to assume I always am going to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So.
But I think it just depends because you can't always be that way.
No.
And I would think, like, from at least my perspective with similar people in those ways... I'm dying because they know who they are. Can only be so objective here, folks.
Yeah, yeah, honestly.
But anyway, my example...
We are just living our life here.
And this is where I say I've seen it in fours and nines is, no, you cannot always have, like, the best mood, right? But to me, when I see that mood shift, it actually helps me know now's when I would want to know what they're thinking. Because, mm-hmm. like, they actually might be the voice that is thinking... I am not always thinking with people in mind. Sometimes I'm thinking more strategy in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I go between 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
The four I work with, I think, really is always thinking, like, people in mind first and foremost. And so when that mood shifts...
I love that for her.
When that mood shifts or, like, the aggression kicks in or there, I'm like, okay,
there's something
a feeling
here.
Behind that
yeah.
that we either need to circle back to or I want to ask more about. Sometimes in that moment, it's so... heightened with emotion that it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't care. Like, let's just wrap this up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I take that. I'm like, okay, let's wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
In about an hour, I would love to come back to all of your thoughts in that time.
I think maturity, what has been maturity for me, or what I would call maturity, and somebody else could tell me I'm incorrect in that thinking, is like, no, I actually am not going to tell you what I think in this moment because, like, I know it's not going to be helpful to this
yes,
conversation.
Yes, that's what she says.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm going to try to preserve that. Like, I don't want to take us further down the wrong path right now. So, like, don't ask me. I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And
or I'll sometimes she wants to say it in private.
Yeah, or, like, I'll come back
yeah.
to it when I'm, like, when I know I'm being, like, not selfish or like it's all about my the emotion that's currently at the front of what I'm feeling.
But the maturity isn't just in knowing that, it's also in saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I've realized some people will, even if I were to ask and inquire about what's going on, the response will be like a no, I'm fine. In which case, especially me as Nate, is like, okay, that's obviously not true, so let's go ahead and get to the truth, like, and we're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
Whereas when the response is, actually, like, the feedback I have would just not be helpful right now,
mm-hmm.
I am making a big mental note, because for me, the feedback I have not been helpful right now, I don't know if that's being innate or just my personality, but I'm like, every feedback is always helpful all the time. You can never give too much feedback. Now
yes,
the fours,
you can.
Now the fours specifically that I work with, I have, like, not just you, not just person, anyone I know who is in the spectrum of a 4 or sometimes even 3, I have just always heard, like, the amount of times I've heard them say, like, well, sometimes that's, like, too much feedback. Mm-hmm. That is just never, mm-hmm. you could not tell me more things that I either need to change about myself, the people around me, what's happening, a decision. I, like, thrive off of feedback.
You can have my job, because every single area that I was doing was, like, feedback-driven.
Yeah.
And feedback-oriented, and I thought it was going to kill me.
Yeah.
Like, I actually was not going to make it.
Yeah, that is what's so interesting. Like, just...
Like, it's exhausting. Like, can't we just, like, have a thought that's not, like, informed by feedback? Like, what... Like,
no,
I wanna...
then, like, what are the thoughts informed by? Like, what is it?
Our
then?
Own strategy! Our own intelligence!
Oh, no, I hear that. Like, okay, yeah, I hear that.
I don't want to talk about if you liked that or not. I don't want to!
And I literally, anyone who works with me is just dying because I live for it. Like, I am like, tell me everything. All the good, all the bad.
I think it's
what do
hurtful
we need to fix?
Sometimes.
What do we need to, and I'll spend like 5 seconds on the, okay, this went well. Awesome. What do we need to,
I think it can be hurtful sometimes.
I've learned that. And I wouldn't even argue that.
I'm sensitive.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So.
You are.
So that's what it's like working for a 4, but that's not to say, like, you have to dance around me because you think I'm going to be, like, hurt.
No, because then you get mad.
Yes.
I mean, like, guys, just, the dichotomy, like, of working with a 4, like, don't give me feedback, but I really need feedback when I need it. I'm really sensitive, so I'd like you to be aware of that, but also if you tell me I'm sensitive, I'm going to get really pissed off. So if you could just continue moving forward in this way, that would be so productive.
I'm going to punch you.
And sometimes I think that's working with Jamie. I don't know if that's working with before. I mean, being your friend too, sometimes I'm like, so do you want me to tell you what I think? Or do you just want me to listen? I want you to actively listen. Okay.
I've never said that to you.
No, that's what it feels like. It's a parallel, man. You really gotta read between the lines.
Well,
what do they
we
want?
We are all 4s. And every other number, complex creature.
Truly. And sometimes that comes out.
And so I think on the other side of this conversation is, like, how really can we benefit from understanding how people operate? And how yeah. is it actually creating a toxic environment?
Both things.
Yeah.
The benefits or the toxicity first?
I think benefits.
Well, the benefits is this. I was dancing around this part of it in our first episode because... To me, this is like 50% of the fix. Like when you're not vibing with the people you work with, my gosh, for me, this can be a benefit. Can be. If they're interested in open to talking about like their personality and personality tests. Some people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stir the pot if they're not. But when they are, I have just learned so much about like, okay, they are relational. They get upset when I say this. Oh, it's not personal. It's because they value this thing way more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a big benefit in my mind is it takes like the things that I'm tempted to make personal and actually just redirect into understanding them more as a person and their motivations versus mine. And it takes a little bit of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Can help
mm-hmm.
to take a little bit of the offense out. Like, wow, they just think this way and I just think this way. It is okay that we'll never think the same. That's actually why it's beautiful to work together. Again, team with no conflict is a team with no trust. So I've come to almost value that more than I maybe did before.
Mm-hmm. I think in my own, how it benefits me specifically is like, I think it helps me be less offended.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Understanding how people operate, like, I think there have been moments where I'm like, man, they really didn't ask me anything mm-hmm. about my life. But my understanding how they operate helped me to step back and actually look at it objectively to say like, oh, they actually just aren't driven that way. They're mm-hmm. not motivated that way. It has nothing to do with me. Like, it's mm-hmm. literally just about the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's helped me be a like a better employee because I just understand how they operate, and like it helps me set realistic expectations of that person. Like, we are never gonna sit and chat about our weekends. And honestly, when you ask me, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what are you not asking me because you're asking me that? Like, what are you, like, trying to soften because you're asking me that? So I think, you know, I'm just like, let's just be who we are. It's helpful for me to know who you are in that way.
One of my coworkers and I were just talking about this. Oh my gosh, there's so much I could say after what you just said. But one of the things she talked about that really correlated with what you just said is, and she does a really good job of this, but we have had really clear conversations about, like, when she feels bad, when she doesn't. One of the things for her was, like, not just, you know, things can be lumped, and this is the toxic part, but sometimes things can be just lumped, like, oh, I'm a words of affirmation person. Okay, that kind of tells me how I can value you, but kind of doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Her specifically, like, I am the most valued with, like, written down words of affirmation. Like, telling me, hey, I really appreciate you does not nearly as much as, like, me walking up to literally just a sticky note of I appreciate you.
Oh, wow.
Knowing those, but I could have never guessed that. I would have never known that. I am far better off for knowing it now.
Yeah.
Don't do it nearly as much as I should, but I know. Like, I want to value this person today.
Go buy sticky notes.
I know this about this person. I am really going to try and not waste her time giving, like, this
mm-hmm.
level of appreciation and do it this way. However, what she had to do in order for me to know that is to, like, say it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both talking about how, like, especially not just, like, force, but our culture overall really values authenticity. And it feels so authentic when you have to, like, say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, well, I would really like if you would celebrate me this way. Okay, well, then it feels inauthentic. The caveat to that is I am never going to know unless you say it. So it's
that's
like
pride.
You have to meet in the middle of this. Like, I have to voice my needs.
Yes.
I also have to get to a place of accepting
the
needs that I voiced. And I think that step two, we don't always do
well.
You know, it's like, they only thanked me because I just said that that's how I needed
yes.
it. Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe it's just my brain, but I'm like, yeah, but I still thanked. Like, I didn't leave here thinking, oh, I must do that for her every day. I'm only going to say that because I actually do appreciate you.
No, that is one of the biggest things I've learned in the last few years is, like, allowing yourself to lay down that pride and accept the thing that you just asked for.
Yeah.
Like, actually.
That in and of itself could preach.
Ooh. I mean,
but
like, it really does. Like, there is this thing where it's like, that feels so inauthentic. Like, you really have to lay down the pride of saying, like, no, that person does love me. They just didn't know how I needed to hear it or what I needed
right.
in order to feel valued. Like, grow up and let them do that. Like, you just asked for what you needed. They want to give it to you. And if you won't accept it, that's on you.
Right. And that's the benefit of the just personality in general is it's not just for the people who work with you, but it's also for you. Like,
yes.
It is also for, I don't know, being innate and not as always in tune with my own emotions or needs. It has helped me, like, oh, I actually do really need that. I really do value that.
Mm-hmm.
I now have that information. I now know that. It's mine to now share with those I work with.
Yeah.
It goes both ways. Like, it's helpful for people who know me to know maybe my personality and some things about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's unhelpful for you to box me into that and assume I just always want to be intense or assume I want to argue or assume, like, I'm just making something out of nothing because that's, like, what I do and I want to rebel against. You know what I mean? The assumptions are not helpful, but the needs are helpful, and both sides of knowing those can really benefit not just a culture, but, like, interpersonal relationships as well, especially if you don't naturally know them or connect with them.
And I can understand where, like, that's hard to, like, what's your baseline? You know what I mean? Like, people sometimes, like, they might operate in that way where it's like, she just always wants to be intense because, like, they know what to bring to the room in order to, like, meet you there. Like, that's the baseline. Is like, okay, well, Anja's intense, so I'm going to be intense so that, like, because that's how I know her to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to bring that. But, like, so I can understand where it's hard for people to, like, find a baseline for people. Like, who is Jamie going to be today? Is she going to be moody? Is she going to be, like, delegatory? Is that a word? I don't know. But, like, who is she going to be as a, you know, a bare minimum?
Yeah.
Almost.
Am I showing up healthier?
Yeah.
Am I not really?
Yeah. But that, yeah. I mean, as a leader, which we won't dive too far down there because we'll get there eventually, but, like, that's your job to help, like, create a baseline for people mm-hmm. where it's safe for them to come to you and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. So I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail at mm-hmm. the moment, but I just want to acknowledge, like, that is hard to find the baseline for people in terms of, like, I can see where people would want a personality test because it does give them a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see how that can really hinder because it is very boxing.
The baseline, you know, sometimes create barriers.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm not going to tell Ange this because she doesn't like emotions. That actually couldn't be further from the truth. Like,
right.
I do so much better knowing
yeah.
how you felt about something. Like I just said, you cannot give enough feedback. Like, you can't mm-hmm. overwhelm me with feedback. And so, and hilarious, I view your emotions as feedback. I realized what I just said. Humbled by that.
Yeah. I'm humbled by that, too.
I think the personality test helps so long as it serves as a baseline and doesn't become a barrier. When you find yourself automatically saying, like, well, I'm not going to tell Ange this because she's an 8, or I'm not going to tell Jamie this because she's a 4 and it's just going to make her spiral downward.
Mm-hmm.
That is no longer a baseline. That is a barrier.
It's an assumption.
Yes. If it is preventing you from communicating what yeah. you otherwise would have communicated if you didn't know their personality test, unhelpful. Mm-hmm. Then it's not helpful anymore. Mm-hmm. If it's hindering communication, if it's hindering growth, I would almost venture to say if it's hindering conflict, it is no longer helpful. Like, if it's preventing all of those things mm-hmm. that are the natural rhythms that we need to grow in relationship, grow in decision making, and grow even in an organization, then it becomes unhelpful.
Mm-hmm. And if you're, like, unsure, like, maybe ask somebody else first. Like, get a second opinion. Like, if it's, I don't know, that's so, like, specific to the example. But, like, if you're unsure if what you're going to say is, like, helpful or hindering because you're thinking it's just an assumption or whatever, like, maybe ask somebody, like, hey, would this be helpful for me to share with them?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Or just ask them, honestly. At least in my experience, I can't think of a conversation specifically with someone who is, like, my boss or supervisor, where I didn't just give information, but I said something more along the lines of, if I have this thought in a meeting, is it helpful for me to share that with you there? Do you like it written or verbal? Like,
mm-hmm.
or just early on, are you looking to brainstorm on this, or is this decision being made and you want to execute it out? Like,
yes.
I've just realized
the clarity
of just asking yeah. that. It doesn't have to be like, hey, I think you were really bossy in that meeting. Is that something you want me to share with you, or like not? Okay, no.
There's a way to do
not
it.
Not helpful. But I wanted to clarify because I was like, well, when I say just tell that person directly.
Yeah.
I'm more so saying, like, ask the questions around what it is you're saying. Like, some people I work with right now are so helpful in that. They're like, is it helpful for me to just hear what you're saying, or are you looking for some strategies around that right now?
Mm-hmm.
Half the time, I don't even know. I was like, I don't know. I had no idea. I was just really talking, kind of. So now I have to actually make a decision because you just asked that. Like, what do I want to be the outcome of this?
Mm-hmm.
Steering me back to center, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, oh my gosh, I'm going to get in a soapbox. So I'm not going to, because it's probably a different episode. But I just think, like, the person you have the most questions about is the person you should be asking questions to. I will die on that hill. I live on that hill. I think anyone who knows me knows I operate on that hill.
Yes.
I am also an 8 and only view conflict as clarity. And I understand not everyone does. But I also do not think that just asking people questions for clarity equals conflict. So this is my hill.
Mm-hmm.
I died on it. I'm done.
Well, I agree.
Now, if you get me talking about the hill, Jamie.
No, I'm not. I just want to say, though, like, not everybody has the freedom, the room, or they're not in those conversations where they get to ask those questions to a person. Like, yeah, you might have a lot of questions about your boss, but I recognize, like, not everybody, not every hierarchy structure or, like, system operates in a way where you have a weekly meeting or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's...
Oh, I'm not even talking about bosses. I am saying lateral, boss, people below you, people above you, people around you. If you have, it's funny that I said if you have questions about people and you only thought boss, that's interesting. I have no questions about my boss most of the time, and I have so many questions about people I work with. Like,
this is so fast. I mean, it's so fascinating, like, how our brains operate.
Yeah, because I've learned to, I mean, well, there's always more to learn, but, like, any job I've gone in, I'm like, the first year is me figuring out my boss. Like, that's, I just have to figure that out. I think there's so much to be said on that. Again, different episode for a different day. I more so mean the most toxic things that I can see happen in a work culture is I have all of these assumptions about the person I work laterally with. And rather than do the hard work of, like, asking them about the assumptions and actually listening, not so boxing them in, those are the conversations I'm saying. Like, there is no better person to go to if you have more questions about someone than that person. Because chances are everyone else around them has also formed assumption, and the feedback you're getting might still not be correct.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah. Like, their experience might be correct, but their motivation, the way that they determine that motivation, that person's motivation, might not actually be. And is that the road less traveled? Absolutely. Is it the harder path traveled? I would also say absolutely. And is it a little more awkward? I would also say absolutely. But I think the clarifying point was, no, that's not just for your boss. That's for the whole sphere of the working environment.
Below you, beside you, above you.
Literally all of them. They all matter.
Yeah,
because it is all how they big people interpret you. Like, there's no...
Well, and it's all about how you get the work done. Like, you need that whole sphere in order to do the job.
I find it so interesting. Oh, I guess you can. This is the last thing I'll say. I find it so interesting because I just recently learned that for some people, their most valuable relationship is who they report to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't matter what else, anyone else I have going on. Like, the most important relationship I need to know and be good about is just who I report to. That has just never... And I think it's just the way I entered the workforce, the jobs I've had. I'm not saying that that's a wrong method of thinking, but it is, like, new information to me that that is actually... how some people, like, that's they do prioritize relationships in the workplace in that way. Because to me, I'm like, okay, cool. If I have, like, my boss's stamp of approval, that's awesome. I have.
But if everybody else 15 hates working lateral for you,
working,
like that sucks.
Yeah. So, or like the people, whether they're lateral, whether they're people working for you, I would venture to say, like, experience has a part to play in that. Like, if all you ever experienced was a very siloed working environment, because those exist, where I actually don't need anyone to do my job, and so the person above me really was the most valuable person for me to get approval from or me to get, like, feedback from,
that's
I do get
real. That's very real.
I think that but then I think it's a temptation to continue the remaining part of your work, even when you change jobs or change roles or positions, in that mindset. You almost have to challenge yourself to retrain your thinking out of it. And vice versa. I've gone to some, like, sometimes I've almost too valued the people I work with. And it's like, no, this thing is just yours to get done, to do it and get done. There's, like, no people you can work with or feedback you can get to make that thing better. Like, you actually just have to do it for this person. And so it actually goes both ways. But knowing the expectation of where you're at and the role that you're in, obviously, like, you started this episode out, has a lot to play.
Yep. Well, I think we'll stop there.
Yeah.
And I think the next section we'll do, or the next question we'll answer, is going to kind of be where we left off here, is, like, how to manage up. I know both of us have wanted to have that conversation and talk about that, and I feel passionately about that topic. And I think it's interesting, given what we were just talking about, where it's like the most important relationship is not just your boss, but that does matter. And I think I think there are some young listeners that could use some practical advice on, like, how do you actually, like, help your boss and manage up, and what does that mean, and whatever. So we'll cover that next. But we'd love to know, Anj, what is trending in your world? I can go first if you need a second.
I don't, but you can go first.
Oh, no. Please. Share.
Well, like, a month ago, I got a book.
Oh, I love it.
I knew Jamie was going to laugh. And this episode just feels applicable to share this on, because we just talked about, like, hate being intense. I will say, direct. But the book is called...
Wait, before you say what the book is called, like, what led you to find this? And how did you find it?
This is actually interesting how I found it initially. Okay. So I, Hannah Brencher.
Yeah.
Hannah Brencher posted this a long time ago. And what I do in my life, because I don't have all the time in the world to read every book I want to read, when I see, like, a book recommended, might know very little about it, might know a lot about it, doesn't matter. I have, like, on Amazon, I have, a books list. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just run over and just throw it in there. Typically what I do. Yeah. So a long time ago, Hannah posted this book, Try Softer is the name.
The title.
The title's called Try Softer.
Mm-hmm. Just to make sure that's clear.
Really read the full title to give the listeners an actual perspective. But yes, it's called Try Softer. And I just threw it on my Amazon, like, wish list. And long time ago. I don't know. So then, I don't know, a month ago, don't know what kind of place I'm in, but it was a place enough that I decided to buy a book called Try Softer.
Yeah. That is a place.
Specifically, it's Try Softer, a fresh approach to move us out of anxiety, stress, and survival mode, and into a life of connection and joy. So that's where I was at.
Is Hannah an 8?
I don't know, but I'd be blessed. You know I'm blessed when it's, like, not only harsh people in the world who are, you know, like, when you...
She's either a 1, 3, or an 8. I can't
remember. They always are. Those personalities, it's like, you've got one of them. Which one is it? Just narrow it down. I'm blessed when it's like, you know, personality tests tell you, like, Hitler, like, George W. Bush, all these, like, really intense people. Those are all 8s. It's like, cool. Okay, yeah. So just, I'm never going to have a soft lens in my life. Uh-huh. Then they tell you, like, Christine Kane is, and you're like, well,
there's
hope. I have freedom.
There's hope for me.
There's freedom. Anyway, I don't know what Hannah is. The book's called Try Softer. Now that I've gotten it, read through it, I'm not done with it. I realize now it is a book. It's counseling in a book. Mm. Really helpful. I highly recommend it. She talks about all kinds of things, like, that I'm actually already familiar with, just in having done counseling for as long as I have now. But it's just helpful to see, like, the research behind it, the words behind it. Mm-hmm. It is a Christian-oriented book, so she has, like, the Jesus lens in and through it sometimes, but just helpful reminders to read through. Like, overall, the biggest places I've, like, received the verbiage from in terms of counseling for, like, attachment styles.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do I want to say bandwidth? That's not the that's not what I'm looking for. Threshold tolerance, whatever that is. Oh my gosh, your window of tolerance. That's what I'm looking for. Okay. Window of tolerance. Like, just all of these words are just things I've collected in, like, conversation with a therapist. Mm-hmm. This book is, like, very
educational.
Yeah, writes it out. I mean, it's educational, and then she ends the chapter very personal in terms of, like, reflection and stuff like that. So, you know, like, if she's talking about attachment styles, then you, like, answer questions based mm-hmm. on this, like,
sounds
timeline
horrible.
You did or whatever.
I don't want to do it.
I gotta say, I really, one thing I've learned, I don't know if it's just my personality or my lifestyle, but I'm like, man, there's a problem, we're just gonna deal with it, let's just knock it out. What I gotta do, answer these 3 journal questions, okay, great, get it done. My counselor's always like, there's no solution, like, you just have to sit with it. I was like, so when are we
good?
Are we good? Is it done? Wrapped up? Feeling good? Don't really know.
You're asking your counselor?
Yeah.
For you?
Oh, I've typically, like, so how long do you think this is going to take? Like,
yeah.
What do I need to do?
You're just
do I just really
to
need to
like
feel
psychic.
This for a straight week? I'll feel it and we'll be done. I don't ask those questions anymore because I know the answer.
Yeah.
But when I first started, I was like, so what are we thinking?
We aren't thinking anything. That's what I would say.
Can we wrap this up? Like, I just want to feel it, deal with it, heal with it, move on. You know what I mean?
That could be on, like, a t-shirt or a wine glass.
I think it
or
is.
Something.
I actually think it might
feel
be my
it,
counselor's.
Deal it, heal it.
Yeah. You know more. She's all about. There's something. I can't remember the order, but anyway, this book is that. It's trending. Love it. Try Softer. Can't remember the author's name, but I promise it's probably the only book called Try Softer.
Something
on Amazon.
About connection and joy.
Yeah. And stress and anxiety.
Love it. Well, mine is, I honestly don't know how I stumbled upon it. I sent it to you, and I don't think you've listened to it yet, because it was yesterday.
I didn't. The conversation.
Yeah. So I stumbled upon this conversation that Amanda Cook had with Annie F. Downs, and, like, there's, it's really not been publicized to my knowledge, but it's excellent. Like, there's 4 episodes, and it's only on YouTube, and Amanda specifically wanted Annie to do the conversation.
Which I find so interesting.
It's a lot about, like, the last few years of Amanda's life and how it correlates to the new album she just released, State of the Union. So it's just talking, I mean, she recently went through a divorce. She's not at Bethel anymore. I think she lives in, I don't know actually where she lives. But it's, she's talking specifically about different songs and how, like, you know, where her life has taken her and how she, like, created those songs. But there is so much in them that I'm going to have to listen to them a couple times to, like, really get all of it out there. But yeah, I think it's just a really, like, insightful conversation, and there's a lot to glean from it. So I'd say that's what's trending in my world. And then listening to the album afterwards, it's like, wow, it feels just like a stab to the heart. Because you just, like, heard all the context
most
of, like, how she got
two.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
even without the context.
Yep.
Fascinating.
So
I do still have to watch.
Just listen.
Or listen.
It's not really a watch. It's literally just the audio on YouTube.
What's the point? Why not just put it on a, like,
I don't know. I don't know if there was, like, it's on Amanda's YouTube. So it's not even on Annie's.
Well, if I were to, like, be, like, released and stuff or famous one day, I didn't know you could, like, request people to interview you. I'm just gonna,
oh yeah,
request you.
If thank I, you so much, Ange.
I'm in this season, want to talk about my life. Hey, Jamie, could you?
Well, I think they had a conversation a few years ago, and Amanda really appreciated it, and so she knew Annie was the right person to have this conversation with. So, I think what I appreciate about Amanda is, like, she's not unwilling to talk about the hard stuff, but she's also willing to keep some of it sacred.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
both
she's
are
not
helpful.
She's not divulging all the details of her divorce, but she's talking about, you know, how that's affected her.
Sure.
So I think you can do both, and she's just a really good person to learn some of those examples from.
Yeah.
So anyway,
just some lighthearted recs for you today.
Yeah.
Just see us for more of the pop culture world.
If you're looking
next
for
week.
More, like, go back to the last episode where we give recommendation for hip hop. So join us next time. We're gonna be talking about leadership and how to manage up, and we'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and let us know what you thought of today's episode by tagging us on social media. This is Trendish. We'll see you soon.